Amen. Well, I want to talk to us for the next little couple of hours. Amen. The rest of them are thinking, we ain't going to get deer hunt this afternoon. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to you for the next little bit about a topic that every one of us, how many of you ever prayed? You prayed for something. And I want to talk to us about praying, and I would title the message today, Answer or Permission? Answer or Permission? Because when we pray for something, we want an answer from God. How many of you say, I want an answer from God? Amen. And if you get an answer, because there's always an answer that comes from God, sometimes you don't like it, so then you start asking for permission. Because you want to do what you want to do, but you got an answer, but you want permission. Amen. I've been there a lot of times. Lord, I want an answer. And get an answer and say, well, I don't like that answer. Lord, could I have permission to do what I want to do and still get your answer? Still everything be okay. Amen? And so I want to talk to us today about that. There's just two things that you're looking for when you pray. There's just two things. Again, you're looking for an answer or you're looking for permission. You're looking for an answer or you're looking for permission. If you don't get the answer we want, then we usually ask for permission. Amen? I mean, have you ever done that? You got an answer, but then you didn't like it, and you said, well, Lord, what if I, see, it's like we rephrase it like to a kid. If they want to do something and you rephrase the question or you rephrase it, they're okay with it. And we all, sometimes when we pray, a lot of times we rephrase the prayer so God will be okay with it so we can get permission. God's like, you know, I know, right? So I want to talk to you this morning about a guy that did that and how God still gave him an answer. And God also gave permission. Watch this. So in Numbers chapter 22, the backstory before we get into the message is that the children of Israel, so Numbers is telling about the journey of the children of Israel. In Numbers 22, the children of Israel, they're still being led by Moses and everything's going fine, but they're going through countries and there's so many of them that when kings of the kingdoms that they would pass through, they would see them and they said, my Lord, they're coming to overtake us. Because what had happened is along the way, God was allowing the children of Israel to defeat so many different countries, so many people groups. And they would show up because they're just going on a journey. They're just following God. But in this journey, so many people resisted them. Come on. So the resisting of Christians has been going on for a long time. The resisting of God's people has been a while, okay? And so as they're being, they would come to a border of a country, the kings would say, man, they're out against us. And they'd gather up other kings to come together so they could go out and hopefully defeat them, but it never happened. And so they're on this journey and they get up to the country of the where the Moabites were. I mean, how would you, that sounds like some kind of insect. What happened to you? I got bit by a Moabite. Come on now. Y'all got to loosen up a little bit. Amen? How many of you love chiggers? You love chiggers? You know, nobody loves a chigger. My daddy right now, I'm talking about chiggers. My daddy just had one get on him up there in Arkansas, in Russellville, okay? Chiggers love my dad for some reason. He hates them. But chigger, you know, man, it's like something on you. You're listening about the Moabites and something on them. So Balak is the king of the Moabites. Remember, the children of Israel, they're on their journey to the promised land. They're getting there. This is a story about them getting there. And Balak is the king of the Moabites. And in Numbers 22, verse 7 through 11, I won't read it because I've got a lot of scripture this morning I'm going to read. But in verses 7 through 11, Balak sends messengers to summon Balaam. Don't get them confused. Balak is the king of the Moabites. And Balaam is a prophet. Okay, he hears from God, he sees, he also uses a little sorcery every now and then too to help out. Well, that can't be God, he can't come to our church. Watch, he ends up being okay with God. And so Balaam Balak sends a message to some of Balaam to come curse the children of Israel. He wanted them cursed, so he thought, well, if Balaam, this prophet, can curse them, then we can overtake them. So that's the idea, okay? So he sends his message there and got a little money. We're going to pay you to do this. And everybody said, hey, man, you're going to pay me to do this. And he shows up in Balaam's house and he gives them, starts telling them what they want. In chapter 22, verse 12, we pick up a little bit right there. I'll read some verses. It says, but God told Balaam, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. Now, God's talking about the children of Israel. He's telling Balaam, the prophet, don't go with these men that have come to get you and go back to Balak's house, go back to his kingdom. Don't go there, because God has already blessed the children of Israel. Verse 13, he says, and the next morning, Balaam got up and he told Balak's officials, go home. The Lord will not let me go with you. That's an answer, isn't it? What's in the in-between scriptures is that Balaam is his prophet and God's speaking to him. And he heard what God wanted him to do. And he says, I've heard from the Lord, and I can't go with you. I can't curse those people because they're already blessed. Go about your way. Go home. So they go home. But in verse 14 through 17, Balak, the king of Moabites, sends more higher-ranking officials to try to convince Balaam to come to curse the children of Israel. So he says, you know what? I bet he can be bought with more money. More things. So now I'm going to take a little higher official and I'm going to send it to Balaam and say, look, here's what we got going on. I got money. I know you'd like to have it. And I need these people cursed. So here's a little more stuff. Here's a little more things that'll maybe entice you. And so what happens? He's normal. He's human. Watch. In verse 22, verse 19, Balaam says this to the people that have come. Now, did he get an answer first? He got an answer. Don't go with them. They've already been cursed. You just stay put. But in verse 19, he says, now Balaam's talking to this second group of people that's come. He says, but stay here one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. You ever been that away? You pray and you get that answer. You say, well, let me just go one more time, see if he maybe changed his mind. See if he's got something else. See if there's an additional clause in here that I didn't hear. See if there's a but in the equation. Come on, somebody. So he says, y'all say, look, I know God. He loves me. He hears me. Y'all hang out one more night and I'm going to go talk to him one more time. Verse 20. It's a strange thing. Sometimes when you pray for things and you say, I'm going to go to God, God beats you to the punch. God shows up before you're ready to talk to him because you hadn't got all that stuff figured out in your mind what you want to say. Watch this in verse 21. 20. That night, God came to Balaam and told him. Balaam didn't even have to pray. God shows up and tells Balaam, since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do. What happened? He told him, don't go, and now he's saying go. He's getting permission. He got an answer, don't do it. He says, I'm going to go and talk to him again, and he goes the next night, and he says, and God says to Balaam, go with them, but you only tell them what I tell you to tell them. Watch this. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. Watch this. This could be so confusing. Verse 22. But God was angry with Balaam. He was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent an angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way as Balaam and his two servants were riding a donkey. What's up with this? He asked God, and God said, don't do it. don't go and don't bless them, right? Two verses later, three verses later, he said, you can go, but you only tell them what I want them to, want them to be told. Now, you got to read chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24 to get the whole big picture, okay? But watch this. He's angry that he went, but he told him to go. You ever felt like God's kind of that way with you? You felt like you got an answer a second time? See, the problem was that he'd already given him the answer. But Balaam wanted a different answer. Balaam probably, maybe, had, I could get some financial gain here. That's what they offered him the first time. It was probably just a little bit. But now these next guys show up and they got a lot. If you read scripture, it says he even denounces giving all the gold and silver of Balak's house. He wouldn't go. But he sure is entertaining a thought now. You ever been that way? You want something so bad that God gives you an answer and you'd say, I'm going with God, I'm going with God, but something a little better comes along and you say, well, let me ask him if I can get permission to go do that. Y'all are quiet today. So Balaam's on his way. God's angry. Verse 23, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off of the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back into the road. I'd do that to a donkey too. You may have ridden a donkey, I mean like for real. You've ridden a donkey? I would love to have that picture sometime. As big as David McNamara is and as tall as he is, the donkey acts up, David stands up and the donkey walks out from under him. I mean, it's that, you know. A donkey. And Balaam's mad at the donkey. Donkey sees something he don't. I could have titled this message something totally different. You're dumber than a... Come on, somebody. Verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. So he gets the donkey back on track, beats the donkey, gets him on track. Now they're going by two vineyards, and it's a real narrow road or passageway. Verse 25, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crush Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Uh-huh. He's mad at a donkey. Why is he mad at a donkey? So the donkey can see things he can't see. Sometimes those spiritual advisors around you, those that are you're supposed to be accountable to, they can see things you don't want to see.
That is true. Amen.
Oh, you could see them. Problem is, Balaam really didn't have to see these. He already had his answer.
Yep.
Now watch. Verse 26, then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam in a fit of rage. Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Y'all know that this is my... When I read this and got this in my spirit, I then believed that God could do anything.
Yeah.
It's impossible for a donkey to speak unless God overrides the natural element of a donkey. Not only did he allow the donkey to speak, but he allowed the donkey to have an intelligent conversation, a rational conversation with a human being. Okay. Verse 28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that deserves you beating me these three times? It, being the donkey, asked Balaam. He asked a question. He had enough rational thinking to ask, why are you beating me? Why are you beating me? Verse 29. And Balaam answers, this stupid donkey, you've made me, in verse 29, look like a fool. To which we could reply, no, you've done really good by yourself. Says, but you've made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. This Balaam is a prophet of God. He's talking and getting mad at a donkey and having a conversation. He says, made me look like a fool. If I had a sword with me right now, I'd kill you. But we'd have roasted donkey tonight. If I just had a sword, I need a sword. If I wasn't a man of God, I'd be carrying a sword. I'd kill this donkey. We'd roast him. Says, verse 30. The donkey responds, but I'm the same donkey you've ridden all your life. The donkey answered, have I ever done anything like this before? I don't know about you, but if my horse starts talking to me, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to be saying, what is going on here? He says, and no, Balaam admitted. This conversation is still going on. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. What happened? Balaam so wanted an answer or permission that he overlooked the real answer. Some of you in your walk with the Lord are so wanting permission to do something that you have forgotten the answer that he's already given you. You've already moved past that into a place where you say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes and blame somebody else and blame something that I don't get what I want, that I don't get permission. Wasn't the donkey's fault. The donkey even had some, God really moved on this donkey. Because he could look back over history and said, have I ever done anything like that before? This story's amazing. You don't believe God? You need to read this story. You need to do some research on why a donkey can't talk. Tongue's too thick, too long. Lips don't work right, okay? The vocal cords, they ain't there. All they do is one thing. They got one little sound. It's impossible in the natural for a donkey to talk. And in this case, it was impossible for Balaam in the natural to receive what God had already given him in his answer. And some of you trying to receive God's answer in the flesh and not in the spirit. Because the Bible says that the spirit and the flesh, they're in enmity with each other. So if you want to answer from God, maybe get in the spirit so you can hear the right answer that God may have already given you and you quit trying to get permission. I'm preaching me better than your amen and me. Verse 32, and God says this to Balaam, why did you beat your donkey these three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. I don't know about you, but I don't really want anything that's related to God mad at me. I don't want the angel of the Lord to be mad at me and say, hey, why'd you beat that donkey? Come here, let me beat you. Let me whoop on you with that stick a minute. Used to be a song years ago. It said you got an attitude adjustment. Balaam needed an attitude adjustment in the arena of listening and hearing from God. I think it'd probably do a lot of us good to have an attitude adjustment in the arena of praying to God. We've got so self-centered. We want what we want and we want it now. And if God doesn't do that, he's not a God I want to serve. He's not a God that loves me and blesses me. He wants something different and I don't know if I can follow that God. The problem is God knows better. How many of you get mad at your folks when they wouldn't let you do something? And they would come up with this crazy, crazy answer. My dad would. And he would say, because I said so. Yeah, come on. Well, I don't like the answer. You go to mother for permission. And mom had this crazy idea, Heavenly, that she was on the same team with my dad. And she'd say, what'd your dad say? Wouldn't it be great if you went to God and you really listened and he gave you an answer you didn't like and you went back to God and he said, what did I say? What did I tell you before? See, we want to bargain with God on the answer that we want because we want permission to do something we shouldn't be doing. We want permission to go ahead with that thing that God knows is not good for us. See, here, God had a plan for the children of Israel. And he knew if Balaam, and he had the power to curse and to bless, he was a prophet at this time, that was one of their roles. And he knew if he went to curse them, that that would have some effect. But God's already blessed the children of Israel. And he says, you can't do that because I have a plan for eternity that involves that group of people and you're not going to mess it up. But here's what I want you, if you just stay right here and you tell them, I can't go, I can't curse them, God said I can't, see you boys, don't come back. If we did that with a lot of things that come at us in life, how much better off would we be? Go ahead and cut the head of that thing off before it gets a root. Go ahead and get it stopped in its tracks before it has traction. See, as long as you pet it, as long as you allow it to stay around, guess what happens? It gets bigger and bigger in your life. You get more accustomed to it. You don't want it to leave. Amen? Amen. Arville, you feeling okay? You sure? Hot flash? Okay. Amen. And stretch your hands toward Arville right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you'd bless my brother. Lord, that you'd touch him. Lord, you'd heal him, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you've already done in his life. Amen. And I thank you for what you're going to do in his life. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Verse 32, let's go back to that. And the angel of the Lord says, and why did you beat your donkey these three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Look at the verbiage here. It says, I have come. The angel of the Lord said, I've come to block your way. He wasn't blocking God's way. He come to block your way. Sometimes God puts up roadblocks in your life because he sees what's on the other side of the roadblock. He sees that the bridge is washed out. He sees that the curve has not been completely fixed yet and there's a cliff. He sees that if you let God be God. He says, I've come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Do you know when God gives you an answer to a prayer and you go do something else that you're resisting God? That's what it says. If it works for Balaam, why wouldn't it be the same for you? If the principle is here for him, it's here for you. When you have an answer and you know the answer and you continue to pray for something else, that's resisting because God's already given the answer. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand saying, boy, that's me. I've been there, done that, got that book and the T-shirt. Paddle that boat. And then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, and I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. And I will return home if you are against my going. If you go on and read the rest, can I have some music, please? Or back there, it doesn't matter. If you go on and read the next couple of chapters, you realize God also had a plan in his, in Balaam's resisting. Because three other times, Balaam did not curse the children of Israel. But he blessed them. And if you read the story, he blessed them more every time. First time he blessed them this much. The next time he blessed them this much. And the next time he blessed them this much. See, in the middle of your resisting, if you'll come to your senses and say, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it, God, that you have in mind for me? God, in the middle of your resistance, in the middle of you overlooking what God, he will still use you. Now, by the way, Balaam didn't get paid anything. God has this way of taking our mess ups and turning it so around that we become, we're just okay with it. Man, that was cool, God. See, he cursed the he went to curse them, but he went to bless them, the children of Israel. That's what they wanted him to do. They wanted to curse him. They wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He gets there, he blesses them. He goes back and says, let's do it again, man. You're in the wrong spot. Come over here and stand on this mountain. Let's do it. I think you'll see it differently from here. That's over the next two or three chapters. He says, if you'll come right here, Balak said, Balaam, if you'll come and look at him from right here, you'll see a different view. You'll see the way I see it. And you'll curse him from here. And he gets over, he says, well, I'm going to bless him again. Well, I know what the problem is. You're still viewing him from right left. You come over here. You come over here and look at him from this position. And see, now you see where I'm talking. You got it, bud? You got it? And Balak said, boy, another opportunity to bless. And he blesses the children of even more. Matter of fact, it's one of the two places in the Bible where it says, if you bless those Israel, I'll bless you. And if you curse them, I'll curse you. Yep. Right from this story. Yeah. See, in all of this, the enemy or your friends, watch, your friends will try to get you to see it from a different position as to why you shouldn't do what God's already told you. Your enemies can sometimes, or your friends, can sometimes be the devil's advocate and say, is that really what God wants you to do? Are you sure? You ever told somebody that God, you felt like God answered your prayer and they said something similar? Are you sure that was God? That sounds a little weird. That sounds a little bit out there. Are you sure that was God? Maybe if you looked at it from over here, you might see. Why don't you come back here from where I'm at? Here's the problem with all of that. It's your prayer, and it's God's answer to your prayer. It's not God's answer to somebody else's prayer for you. Does it make any sense? God's got several answers, church. One is no. No is an answer.
Yeah.
We don't like that answer, but no is an answer. The most favorite answer is yes. Yes. I always loved my mom and dad when I asked for something to say yes. Woohoo! Why? I had their blessing. It wasn't that I could just go. I had their blessing in going, maybe get $20. $20 was a lot when I was going out, by the way. Here's another answer. Not right now. That's a severe problem for us in America. Not right now is a severe problem because we want it now, and if it's now, it's 30 seconds too late. Not right now is an answer. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe God's okay with you having what you pray for, but not right now in your life. Maybe he's not ready to bless you financially because you ain't ready. Maybe if we we say, well, God, what did God say about that? And he said, not right now. Your friends will say, well, what does that mean? Let me, can I give you a deep theological definition of that? Wait. Just wait. It's okay to wait. You're not going to die. It's not going to eat you up. You just wait. And here's another answer that I truly believe God has as well. So you got no, and you got yes, you got not right now. And here's another thing. If you've got God in the center of your life, here's another answer, and it's as real as the others. What do you want to do? When God says, what do you want to do? You know what that means? God trusts you that you're going to keep him in the center. And if you get too far out of line, he's going to say, don't do that. And you're going to obey that. You're going to go with that. He says, what do you want to do with it? God wants to trust you. God wants to give you things. God wants your ministry to explode. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be healed. God wants all of these things. What do you want to do? I love it when God tells me, what do you want to do? Now, I don't hear that very often, but I've heard it a few times in my life. What do you want to do, son? It makes me feel proud because I know that God says, I trust you, and I know you're going to keep me at the center of what you're doing, and you're going to ask me for advice along the way. But I really hang out more over in the other arenas. Yeah. I don't want to wait, God. I want it right now. Don't you see this? Don't you see that this is a problem? Is it not legitimate, God? Do we not need a healing here to God? Do we not need a financial blessing? Lord, do we not need my heart to be mended? Lord, do you see this? This is a real deal, God. What are you waiting on here? You justify your prayer, your question to God, don't you? And it's legit. It's a legit prayer. You think God ought to answer it, right? He's God. It's a good thing. It's good for the people. It's all good. It ought to be a yes. This ought to be a no-brainer. This ought to fly right through the committee in heaven that answers the prayers, right? If there's a committee. Thank God there's not. It'd get hung up in the red tape. Be some old stuck in the mud church member up there saying, I don't like them no way. Y'all ain't been in church long enough. I can tell you right now. I want you to be able to pray and ask God for something and be okay with the answer. Even if it's not what you thought it ought to be, don't go back and ask for permission and be like Balaam. Balaam had to repent. He said, I have sinned. I've sinned and I repent. You think maybe in some of our prayers, because that's a holy moment, right? Holy glory to God, we're praying. You know, Balaam sinned in that moment. What? Well, the Bible says, he said, I've sinned. Verse 34. And Balaam confessed to the angel, Lord, I've sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. Maybe you're trying to skirt around what God's already says. It might be that you need to confess that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Let me get back on track. I wonder what that would do to the other prayers we're praying. Will they get answered? Well, by the way, they're already all answered. This may not be the answer you're looking for. I want you to pray and know that God hears you. And God's more than able and more than willing. But we have to know that whatever God says, we got to be okay with it. Amen. That's our trouble, not being okay with what the answer that God gives us. That's hard. So what do you do? What if you're praying for someone for months, weeks, years, and you know it's a good answer? I mean, it's a good prayer. You're praying for somebody to be healed. It's a good prayer. God's will doesn't happen. What do you do? And you keep praying. So what do you do when that answer doesn't come the way you thought it ought to come? You keep praying. You keep praying. God, I'm here again. And I'm praying for so-and-so. And Lord, I'm asking you to heal them. I'm asking you to bless them, whatever it is. Don't try to go around behind God and do something different. Just ask God. Continue to ask him. How long do you pray for something? You know who said that? Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller said that years ago. Bobby Miller prayed for his wife to be healed this side of heaven. Am I correct, Bobby? Yeah. You know what he did, though? He prayed. She'd be healed. Accepted the answer that God gave. Oh, she's healed, by the way. But our expectation was this side of heaven. That's a tough pill to swallow in a Pentecostal church sometimes, ain't it? Pray and trust God that the answer he gives is the best answer for your life at that moment. Amen? I really never asked the Lord today how we want to close out this service. So here's how I want to do it. Where you are, right where you are, I'd like for us to have a moment for you to soul search your prayer request. Just take a moment and kind of scroll back through some of your recent prayer requests to God. Has God given you an answer on those already, but you didn't like it? Has he already presented you with that answer? You say, well, God, thank you, but no thanks. Reflect on that just a minute. Just if you'll just bow your heads all across this, but just think it, those prayers. Just begin to think about some of those just for a second. Now, as you're reflecting on these prayers, maybe it's a prayer you prayed for 20, 30 years. Maybe it's a prayer you prayed for 2 days. Maybe you prayed it this morning. Would you be honest with yourself and tell God, God, I'm okay with whatever answer you give me. I'm okay with that, God. I'm going to trust you, God, that you have my best interest at hand. That you see not only now, but you see into the future. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, right now. This is our prayer. Right now, Lord, I'm trusting you with all of my prayers. I trust you, God, that you have the best interest for me, for this season of my life, this moment, the decisions that I'm faced with that I really would like to have a decision on. Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm going to receive the answer that you give me, I'm not going to go around it. I'm going to receive that answer. Father, forgive me for the prayers I've asked and then tried to twist the prayer so I'd get a different answer because I've sinned against you. I confess that sin. And Lord, I'm ready to receive the answers you have for me. And I'm going with that. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to share something real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I know it's one of the shortest messages I probably ever preached on Sunday morning, and you'll like me. I want to say this. Never not pray something because you're afraid of the answer. Because a lot of times when you pray something, you're scared of the answer, you already know the answer. That makes sense? Because sometimes we'll want to do something so bad and say, I know I really shouldn't do that, now, so I'm not going to pray. Then I won't be able to say, well, God didn't tell me not to. Yeah, you didn't ask him. But really, he told you not to. It was called the Holy Spirit inside of you. Might not be an audible voice. Might not be written out on a piece of paper. But you already know in your heart the answer that God has. Some of them are difficult, good Lord. And some of them aren't difficult at all. Some of them really aren't. You think they're going to be, but they're not. You ever had those prayers? You thought, Lord, if I get this answer, it's going to be so tough. And you get an answer, it's like, well, that wasn't bad at all. God cares for you. I can assure you, God's best interest is for you. And I'll leave you with this. Whatever answer you get, whatever answer comes, understand this one thing, and I need you to hear this. Understand this one thing. You don't have to explain God's answer to anybody. See, we want to be able to explain and justify why God did this and we didn't get the answer that we had our prayer group praying for. You don't have to explain God's answer. He's God. You don't have to justify your answer that God said no and you really wanted the people around you to believe for a yes. You don't have to do that. You don't have to explain God when you really wanted a healing and you didn't get it. You don't have to explain that. God's God. And he's God all by himself. He needs you really for nothing. But he desires a relationship with you greatly. But he doesn't need you for anything. And he has your best interest at heart. Always. Always. I love you. I hope you got something out of today. Hope it's to the point. Amen. Because this is what I know. I believe if you're in this room, you've already prayed something today. Probably every person in this room has prayed something today. Something that we all should do is pray. Just know that God loves you. And God wants the best. He sees the future when you cannot. Amen. I love you. I'm going to bless you before we go. Don't be mad next week if we get out at 12:30 or 1 o'clock. I'm on the credit system now. Oh, amen. I got 24 minutes of credit for next week. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. I believe that it is spoken to hearts. Lord, it's challenged our intellect when we pray and our thinking. And Lord, I pray as we leave that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man. Lord, that job promotions, raises, increase, prosperity would come our way. And Lord, that peace would blanket every rooftop so that when we lay down today or this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen and amen.